This is Saturday Night Live's Day of Sobriety number 19, held at Upso Shopping Center, room 120 in San Jose, California, November 27th, 1992. This afternoon, our main speaker will be, at the 2 p.m. meeting, our main speaker will be Dossie P. from Aptos. The original recording and its copy are at the SNL Tape Library. Please observe the traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous and do not play this recording. Please do not break the anonymity of the speakers or any AA member.
My name is Dossie, and I'm a grateful alcoholic. I just had a bowl of soup with some AA friends. I'm over here from Aptos with my traveling companion, Cheryl. My good husband is at home praying for me right now. I have two watches here. This one's for show. This one I can see without my granny glasses. And I won't abuse you. I won't talk so long that you start fidgeting around in your chairs and coughing and wandering out. I can kind of give you a rundown on what I'm going to talk about. And then if you want to bail, you hit the road right now. I'm going to talk about salty dogs first. That is pure grain alcohol, grapefruit juice, and low pinch of salt. And I drank that. And I have been known to have a cold glass of beer on a hot day. And I'm going to talk about half a second about New York City, because I wound up working in New York City when I was very young and foolish, and sitting on a lot of bar stools, and I learned how to drink scotch and chase it with strawberry ice cream. And I'm going to talk about Annapolis, Maryland, where I once upon a time worked at the Annapolis Yacht Yard and married a midshipman there in Annapolis. This delightful young gentleman went immediately upon graduation into the Marine Corps, and so I was a service wife for a number of years until they started jacking him around, and he said, "I've had it up to here with the Marine Corps," and he went about resigning and finally was successful in resigning and went into big business. I'm going to talk a little bit about the big book, the 12 suggested steps to recovery, and I'm going to lean on this business of putting the whip away, because I beat the hell out of myself with alcohol. I beat myself unmercifully with self-loathing, mental anguish, lesser than, sicker than. And I'm going to talk about what why did for me and did to me, and a little bit about should. I'm going to talk about kicking the liars out. One of our friends and speakers, Bobby Earle, talks about the committee, and I call the committee liars, because they do come into my head and tell me lies that will work me over and make me think that maybe drinking wouldn't be such a bad idea. My favorite subject is love, and I love to talk about love and service, because it keeps saving my whatever a day at a time. And I'm going to touch on God's will. There are those in the room who may not like the choice of my word, but the God of my understanding is my higher power, and I call my higher power God. My timekeeper, my beloved husband, is not here today, and And that's okay. He's not an alcoholic, and he has stood by me through thick and thin. And he did an intervention on me long before the days of intervention being popular, and treatment centers were all the rage. And he said to me, "When in the hell are you going to quit this ridiculous drinking? You're not yourself. You look like hell and you stink." Well, you know, obviously the gentleman had never been to Al-Anon, because you don't talk to sick people like that. You know, you detach with love and let go. And when the chips were down, I stood early one morning looking out my kitchen window, and my husband's words came back to me. "When the hell are you going to quit this ridiculous drinking?" And I heard my own voice saying this. And it was as if an angel tapped me on the shoulder, and I went to the telephone, and I called someone I knew who had not had a drink of alcohol in a year. And I was impressed with the fact that Bill hadn't had a drink in a year, because he was one of my drinking buddies when the big party was going on, and the social drinkers were out in the living room having a little libation. We were standing, hanging over the kitchen sink, slamming them back and telling raunchy stories. And by this time, we weren't even nicking, because we weren't interested in any of that sex business. It was just, give me the booze. Rum and Coca-Cola, finer wines, Gallo Pale Dry Sherry, Thunderbird, Ripple. When the gin's all gone, you drink the vermouth, if you're an alcoholic of my type. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love what you do for me, Alcoholics Anonymous. And I like to go flying into the air like the Toyota guy, saying, "I love what you do for me." I love being here in this room and reflecting on what my life was like and what I was like before I got here. I was one sick cookie. I had no idea how sick I was until I started getting better. I tried all of the things that most of us have considered to get rid of the booze and get on with the business of living. And I confess to you that when I came here, I did not want to quit drinking. I wanted to quit hurting. And that morning, as I looked out at those pyracantha berries and said, "Something's got to stop now, because I'm on my way out," really didn't connect that if I stopped drinking, I just thought if they would just leave me alone, if they would get off my back, if my mother-in-law would stop coming to visit, if the dog would stop crapping on the lawn, if they, and blaming and blaming and pointing the finger. And it was after I got into AA that I realized I was responsible. Marguerite came to my house with a copy of the 12x12, a couple of copies of the Grapevine, and she said, "You know, dear, we have a program. It's called Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's for alcoholics, and it will not cure your alcoholism, but it will arrest it one day at a time and will make you painfully aware of your character defects." Well, who wants to hear that? Then she said, "You know, dear, we have a little prayer." And then she said the Serenity Prayer, and it sounded awful good to me. And then she said something that started to change my life, and it continues to change my life, and I'm very grateful for it. She said, "All the power men have to annoy me, I give them." And I try to use that in my dailies. If somebody's bugging me, if I'm allowing somebody to tap dance on my face, then it's up to me to change my position, my attitude, and take responsibility. And when I was drinking, I really didn't want any responsibility for, name it, anything. Now I'm, in addition to being a very grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm into community service. And what I'm saying is, any day I don't drink is a community service. I was out there ripping and roaring around in my lethal weapon, my automobile, and got in my car one night, having been drinking all day, and my mother said, well, if you're going to sit here and drink your dinner, perhaps you'd better take me home. So I thought, okay, party pooper, and I took her home and let her out of her little apartment there in Garden Grove. And she said something you shouldn't say to an alcoholic. She said, don't drive too fast. So I floorboarded that vehicle, slammed right into a car, stopped at a boulevard stop, and I heard a woman say, that woman is drunk. And I heard a baby cry. I was in the emergency room at the hospital. And I heard somebody connected with my insurance company say, three people in the hospital as a direct result of this drunken driver. And I felt awful, awful, awful. And I wanted with all my heart to go to the hospital and say, I'm so sorry, and I didn't mean it, and I'll never do it again, and I hope you're okay. And I haven't any clue as to who those people were, nor the extent of their injuries. The only thing that I do know is that they lived. And it just went in time. It just, I had to let go and let God, because there was nothing I could do about it, any more than I can do anything about yesterday. Yesterday simply doesn't exist. I have this moment. The most precious moment of my life is this moment. And I want to live that way. I want to live in the now. Never dawned on me to live in the now until I came in day eight. I was mully-grubbing around in the filth of yesterday and all my rotten ways and all the rotten things that I had said and done. And then I was steaming about the mother-in-law coming to visit. And I know a lot about negative projection. Negative projection is knowing that my mother-in-law is going to come visit in July. I begin to get drunk in January. That's negative projection. And I don't recommend it. It's stinking thinking. And the gentleman Larry was talking a while ago about the lingo and the jargon in AA. And thank God for AA and the way we do talk around here. We call things what they are. We ordinarily say drunk, because drunk is what it is. It isn't tipsy or a little high or a little something or other. And I was getting drunk with great regularity before I found Alcoholics Anonymous. I drank as much as I could hold, and I hope I'm not a quart short. I really believe that I have had my last drink, and it certainly is my intention to not only go to bed sober tonight, but to never take a drink as long as I live. And one of my long-term goals is to die sober, because I like, well, I love having a clear head and no more bloodshot eyes. You know how we talk around here about somebody saying, oh God, your eyes are so bloodshot, and the guy says, you ought to see them from this side, you know. So no more of that. I took a look at that 12 by 12, and I was on every page, and it was the most interesting thing I had ever read. I got into a study unit with a group, Monday morning step meeting, there in the East Bay, Contra Costa County, And I thought, AA is absolutely wonderful. And I'd say, my name is Dasi, and I'm an alcoholic. And I didn't believe a word of it. After all I had been through, the sickness, the car wrecks, the self-loathing, the regrets, the merciless beating of myself for these things that I have done. And I'm not going to outline them for you because you know what they are. When I tell you that I'm an alcoholic and I was a bar drinker and a beach drinker and a party drinker and an at-home alone drinker, I don't have to tell you what I did. You know. My husband's not here. I could tell you, but I'm not going to tell you. You know. I read that 12x12, and then I went to my first meeting. And the beautiful woman said, do you have the big book? No, I didn't have the big book. Well, she said, you better buy the big book. I said, well, I don't have any money. Well, she says, I'll buy it for you and you can pay me later. I thought, well, hell's bells. If she does that, I'll have to see her again. And I'll owe her money. Now, that's not cool. Well, I went home with the big book and I stuck my nose into the big book. And then there were nights when I wanted to drink. I wanted to get up, and I knew where there was some liquor, and I wanted to get up and drink it. And then Marguerite, the woman who became my sponsor, said, dear, step 11, dear, step 11. And I'd call on the telephone, and I'd want a smittle, and I want sympathy, and I wanted anybody to say, oh, poor baby, no wonder you drank. And she'd say, yes, yeah, I know, dear, yeah, well, step 11, dear, step 11, hang up. So I lay in bed one night, clutching the bedclothes because I wanted to drink, and I could hear Marguerite's voice saying, step 11, dear, step 11, dear, and I stayed in bed. And I didn't get up, and I didn't go get the drink. And I had a day of sobriety. And I didn't even know what the hell step 11 said. I just knew that step 11 was a good idea. This morning, I did what I now do in the mornings. I kind of slide out of bed onto my knees. And I thank God for another day, and I pray for you, pray for my AA family, and I pray for my blood relations, my beautiful daughters, my sons-in-law, my grandchildren, pray for my community, and it may not do that for anybody, but boy, it sure does help me. And I read inspirational stuff, maybe even the big book, good idea, couldn't hurt a bit. And I do consider putting the whip away with great regularity, because unlike in the evening when I'm tired, I might have a liar attack, but mostly the liars hit me early in the morning. I can wake up with, you know, aches and pains, and I'm so damn old, you know. I get these little pain here and a little ache there. And as the feller says, you know, when you get to be my age, if you wake up in the morning and you haven't got any aches and pains, you better turn over and go back to sleep because you're already done. So I wake up with these aches and pains occasionally, and I wake up with the liar attack, and the liars are saying, you're no damn good. You never did anything worthwhile in your life. Probably never will. Why don't you just turn over and go back to sleep? Why even bother getting up? Who'd care if you drank anyway? Oh, wait a minute. Let's get the liars out of here. And so I asked my higher power to rout the liars. And as far as I know, higher power is the only entity that's going to rout my liars. And I don't want them. And I don't want to beat myself. Why no, Ray, sweet little Skid Row derelict. They've got helped more people than anybody I can mention just offhand. One-on-one with a newcomer, you couldn't beat Why No, Ray. Sweet little man, and he'd say, forgive yourself for every rotten thing you ever thought, said, or did. He says, now I don't know how you're going to do that. He said, for me, I took little pieces of paper and I wrote on there, forgive yourself. And I stuck them up all over the little place where I live, on the refrigerator, by where I shave in the morning, by the light switch. He says, for me, it worked in a couple of weeks. And I thought, how wonderful. I wondered who among us doesn't need to forgive ourselves for the stuff we did behind booze and wrongs. 12 by 12 says, what kinds of harm do people do other people anyway? And we get to look at that by the application of the steps. And I love the first step. And boy, do I need the first step. Hey, am I powerless? Totally. Powerless over alcohol, cigarettes, hot fudge sundaes, peanut butter, what you say, what he thinks, where they go. And I'm powerless and I know it. And for an alcoholic of my type, that's a lot to know. You're helping me take step two every time I see you. And I have come to believe that a power greater than myself has restored me to enough sanity to keep the plug in the jug for today. That's wonderful. God's will for me. I was in a meeting yesterday and we were talking about turning my will and my life over to the care of God. And I think that my concept of God as given to me by AA means that God's will for me is my heart's desire. The best for me, provided as I go about my daily affairs, I hurt no one, no one, including myself. That seems to be God's will for me, and it'll do for me right now. I left Contra Costa County with 5 years of sobriety. And I got down to Santa Cruz County, drug capital of the world. Well, one of them. And there was really nothing I didn't know about AA. 5 years sober, you know, and I had taken all steps to the best of my ability. And just ask me about AA, and I could just rattle those steps off. And they said, you've got 5 years and we need a general service rep. What do you say? Why, sure. General service representative sounded like a good title to me. But I had to go to some meetings. And so I'd go to a general service meeting and I'd sit there and I'd think, what am I doing here? You know, like the little fellow that was going to be vice president for parole. What am I doing here? Oh, that's what I was thinking. I'd think, what am I doing here? I could be in a good meeting instead of sitting here listening to this beautiful man from San Jose who drove every month over to Aptos to tell us what general service was all about, because we didn't have general service over there in Santa Cruz County. And Paul V, many of you know him, I'm sure, he would come over every month and very patiently tell us what a general service representative was. At any rate, I was thrilled to get into general service, and I did the best I could in that billet for a few years, and it was one of the best things that ever happened to me, because you race all up and down California and you meet beautiful people from all over the Northern California coastal area. So it was just a gift to me to just nod my head and say, yes, I'll be a GSR. And all we do talk about love and service. I suppose, bottom line, what else is there? If I'm just going to sit home and do what I did when I was sucking on a bottle and say, what's in it for me, and what do I want, and what do I need, and I, yah, yah, and me, is just not going to make me have a happy, joyous, and free life. And that is what I want. And I want, and I want, and I want more love, and I want more sobriety, and I want more steps, and I want more spirituality, and I want more, because I'm a pig, and I want more serenity, and more peace, and more parties, and more joy, and More Alcoholics Anonymous, one day at a time. Standing here wondering what it is that I share when I'm not at a podium and I'm just one-on-one or one-on-a-few in a room at a closed women's meeting, and I haven't got a clue. But I will tell you that in the recent past, I saw God, as Larry was talking about earlier, I saw God in and through people. Over in our area, a young man who dedicated himself to being a bicycle rider. He didn't go out and buy a car. He decided he'd ride a bike. And he had on his helmet, and he had on his reflector jacket, and he was tooling down the road about 10 o'clock at night one time heading home, probably going home from a meeting. And he was clipped by a drunken driver. And he flew into the air, and his head came down on fire hydrant and shattered the helmet. And as far as I know, as I speak, this young man is still in a coma. And I saw his wife and his sponsor and his wife's sponsor and friends do everything. Cats got fed. The bills got paid. People went to San Francisco Airport. People went to San Jose Airport to pick up loving family members and bring them to his bedside. When they had had their visit over, they took them back to the airport. They cooked food for the family, and they just did it, and they're still doing it. And I've never seen anything like it outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I've been privileged to see this kind of love that asks nothing in return. And the prayer vigils and people going in and talking, even though the gentleman is comatose, they're in there telling him, we're for you, we're with you, we love you, you're going to make it, and God is in charge. And I'm just tickled pink to reflect on that very real fact that God is in charge. Nobody knows how it's going to be with Tom. We're just hoping and praying and waiting. I enlist your prayers for Tom. Marguerite and I used to go on 12-step calls. Boy, I miss those 12-step calls. When I started in AA, my husband was still working, and I had my whole day all to myself from about 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. Seldom a day went by that the phone didn't ring, and it would be a 12-step call. And it's all very different now, as you know, due to the media, treatment centers, and so on. AA has, you know, and ordered by the courts and whatever. And that is great, absolutely fine. But just speaking on a personal level, I miss that telephone call where I could go to some woman's house, and God, there is a vast amount of fun about it all. Gee, we went to see this one old dame, and she was sodden. I mean, she looked like I looked before I got here, and I was such a greenhorn. I was so brand new in the program. And I just didn't know what I was doing or didn't know any better. And instead of, you know, just kind of carrying the message, I went over and sat down by her on the couch, practically in her lap, you know, and said, well, honey, you don't look so bad, you know. And she was just, I mean, she couldn't look much worse, you know. And there we were, and she's saying, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And the woman who took me said, well, you're probably an alcoholic. Now, here's all this literature. Now, put it on the coffee table and leave it there for your husband to see when he gets home. And let him know, you know. And she'd say, what's wrong with me? And anyway, we stayed a reasonable length of time. And then we left there and we went out and we got in the car and Mary looked over at me and she says, "Well, Doss, do you want a drink?" No, I did not want a drink because I'd been smelling this dame and looking at her crossed eyes. And the last thing in the world I wanted was a drink. And I think that's got something to do with how this program works. You just kind of find somebody that's just, you know, and you say, "Boy, I don't have to do that number anymore. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad to be sober and be clear-eyed and be able to think a little bit." And I think of the gifts that I have received in this program, not just the gift of sobriety and the gift of love and pats and warm fuzzies. And when I was new, my sponsor saying, "You're doing just fine, dear. You're doing fine. You're sober. You're willing. You're okay. Keep coming back." God knows I needed that. I needed it so desperately because I was so beaten when I got here. I needed to be reassured and comforted and nurtured. And I got it, and I got it, and I'm so grateful. In addition to these gifts, I got a little glimmer of self-esteem. And I got a little confidence, which the alcohol had destroyed. And of course, I could tell you what I looked like when I got here. No hair, stomach sticking out, red face, tacky looking garments, dirty, didn't care, didn't know what the hell I looked like. Marguerite, sponsor, every hair in place, looking like she stepped out of a bandbox, you know. Loving me when I was unlovable. And then I got the gift of going to school. And I started going to school. And I was so jazzed. Oh, AA was so much a part of my life. And I just wanted to do it all, you know. And so I took French lessons so that I could go to France and carry the message. And then I took Spanish lessons. And then I took sign language lessons. And then I took this and that and these and those. And I went to school off and on for about 5 years, mostly on. And I had the time of my life. I was an old bat going to school, having a good time. Alcoholics Anonymous allowed me to, to do these kinds of things. There is no way that I can find the words to say, take the steps. Take them. Take them the way you'd take a gift, a birthday present. Take it. Embrace the gift of those 12 suggested steps. Change your life. I'm sure. Because if it happened to me, it can happen to anybody. Because I'm no longer dying of terminal uniqueness. Just like you. And just like you. And if you don't want to be just like me, tough, that's your problem. But basically, I think we're cut off the same bolt of cloth. Human beings wanting to give love and receive it. Wanting to do something that makes us feel good, like old Bob Hope used to say. You know, I was weaned on give until it hurts. Nah, Bob Hope came along and said, give until it feels good. And that's what has happened to me in Alcoholics Anonymous. People have given and given and given to me to make my life rich and worthwhile. There is no way that I can give enough to in any way compensate for what has been given to me in AA. And we went to the jails. We went into Santa Rita Women's Prison, and we went into the jail there in Santa Cruz to carry the message. And what a gift to be able to walk in, walk out, same day, door slammed behind you. You're out. You're free. I'm grateful. And we get involved in intergroup, and everybody wonders what the hey that means. Well, it just means that all the groups get together and try to share and support each other, and it's all just part of Alcoholics Anonymous. Part of left foot, right foot, don't take a drink, get to a meeting. Right foot, left foot, don't drink, get to a meeting. Don't drink between meetings, they told me. They told me they would love me until I could love myself. It happened. And I think of a kid sitting in a meeting saying, oh, it's just so wonderful. He says, I've got 3 years now, and I am really beginning to love myself instead of adoring myself as I used to, you know. And it is wonderful to be a lover instead of a hater. God, I hated my mother-in-law. I figured if I could kill her and get away with it, you know, world wasn't big enough for both of us. One of us had to go, you know. Now, I was a lot younger, so it probably ought to be her. And then I was privileged to be able to go to my husband's hometown. We were back in that area because we'd gone to New Orleans to one of the big AA hoop-de-doos. And when we left this wonderful AA conference, we went by Brownsville, Texas, and I was able to go to this woman and say, I have really been a so-and-so, and I am a drunk, and I am in recovery. You really are a lovely woman, and any derogatory thoughts I had about you were between my own ears, and we laughed together, and we cried together, and we prayed together, And I felt as if I had swept off my side of the street nice and clean by the time she died. What a blessing for me to have been able to do that. I who had hated her so much and wanted her out of my life and out of my hair. And she was a wonderful woman. And my husband is a wonderful gentleman. And I asked my husband one day, did you know, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm going to AA, and if you don't tell me what you think, I'm not going to know, because I'm not a mind reader. I can't split your head open and look in there. And he said, what do I think? I can only believe that we're going to have a much happier life. And I had asked him, what made you stick? Why didn't you just get up one morning and go to work and not come back to me in light of my behavior? Because every damn time he came home, I was drunk and glassy-eyed and abusive. And why did you stick? And he said, well, I always had just enough faith to think that somehow, someday, you'd find a way to kick it. In light of my behavior, that was one plenty big faith. And so I'm very grateful. Very grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous, the God of my understanding that you have given to me, like on a silver tray. Grateful to that blessed woman, Marguerite, who put up with all my nonsense early on and on and on. And I'm grateful. And I have the kind of gratitude that makes most of the newcomers just want to hello, because but it'll happen. If you stick around, it'll happen to you. You'll get disgustingly grateful. And it'll show. And I want, with all my heart, for every individual in this room, every woman, every gentleman, I want you to have happiness and joyousness and freedom. I want with all my heart to have a good bed sober tonight. Night after night. Night after night. the rest of your life. And you know, you are going to help me do just that, because I'm here to stay, and I will come to you in a wheelchair, or maybe on a litter or a gurney, but I will keep coming back, because I can't make it without you. I love you. And if you don't believe that, someday you will. I do love you. And if you don't love me, keep coming back. You will.